Coming up on Beef Boys.
DoorDash driver squared up to me over my soda.
Nope.
What?
This is another doplexism.
No. And I pull it down, and as I'm pulling down, I just start all over myself.
The good, the bad, and the ugly, but yeah. Everyone's just got in their mouth. But if you would turn.
I've been excited to hear about James's Chipotle story personally.
That's a classic way to start off.
My last Chipotle story was like 6 months ago when the dude pulled the gun on me, and I think God was like, all right,
let's back off.
Now Jack in the Box is haunted.
It's like when you're pranking your sibling like as kids and then they like really hurt themselves. You're like, all right, maybe I should stop.
One of my worst memories of my whole life, like one of my worst memories about like me where I felt terrible was one night my parents were like in a fight. When you're a little kid and your parents are fighting, it's like your whole world is just like at a standstill because no one can do anything, but you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like the worst fucking atmosphere. You're like 8 years old. And my mom went out and she got McDonald's and, you know, just went back to fucking fight with my dad. Of course they fucking forgot something. So then my mom was even fucking more mad. And then one of us didn't have like a McNugget or some shit. Yeah. So, and then me and my little sister always fought when we were little. So I think my little sister got my nuggets or something, but I already had a burger cause I was a fat fuck. And then I was like, no, but I want nuggets. And then my sister like taunted me or some shit.
You McDrop kicked her?
Well, it was like, no, but it was such a terrible day. And then we all got McDonald's, me and my sisters. And it's like, all right, well, we're all just going to go to our room and watch fucking Jimmy Neutron and eat McDonald's. My little sister pissed me off so much. I took like a pudding cup, like one of those snack packs.
Yeah.
And I whipped it at her. And it hit her plate and her food fell into our dog's bowls. And it was ruined. And then and my mom was already upstairs, so like now I'm like the oldest person in the room and I just ruined my little sister's whole fucking life basically.
Yeah.
And then I just took my food and walked away. I think of that and I'm as like the worst thing I've ever done to someone, which obviously it isn't, but it's just such a funny what food means to me and not to her because she's not fucking fat as fuck. But
drop her food.
I don't think it matters if you're fat or not, just having your food ruined, like especially when it's something you're excited for, like McDonald's, is honestly heartbreaking.
Oh, like when someone punches your burger into a fucking 1 inch.
Who would ever do that?
I wanted a big fat coffee to start my week off, and sometimes when I do that, I'm like, oh, I'll order Macca's breakfast in as like a little treat.
And they forget it.
Out of everything in the entire order, they forgot my coffee, which I paid extra for a large and extra to have like stuff put in it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, well, I obviously got in touch with Uber Eats being like, oi, the fuck. And they were like, oh, sorry about that. We've refunded you $1. It's like,
thanks,
dude. It's like it's like delivery drivers are fucking deathly allergic of fucking liquid. They always forget the sauce and they always forget the fucking drink. It's probably because they just don't want to fucking carry it, but it's like, man, fuck you. There's no way they always forget the drink. It's just you just didn't want to. It can't be.
They're afraid of getting messy.
Here's the conundrum. It's cereal. They had Emily's drink and then they had it in the two cup holder, but the other one was missing. So
that was just McDonald's.
The whodunit is, did McDonald's forget it?
Or that was McDonald's.
Did this guy steal the coffee?
I'd like a coffee.
Because
I think that too.
The stickers that they used to close the bag, one of them was open.
Oh.
But also one of them is always open because the stickers suck ass.
Yeah.
So
I will say.
Who knows? It was very annoying as a Grubhub driver because it never made sense to me. Like, people would put in the notes in the like special request, and it'd be like, "Can you ask
Please
for
come
15
in my food.
Forks and like extra ranch?" And I'm like, "Why is this not built into the restaurant? Like, why can you? Why do I have to walk in and then on top be like, could I get some extra ranch, please?
Yeah.
Can I have 15? You know, the whitest family ever.
Unless they tip me good as fuck, there's no.
I never did it.
My bad.
Yeah, I never did it. I
was like, Who do you think I am? I'm not the I'm the driver.
What do you think I got?
Who do you think I am? I'm not getting paid $4 a fucking hour minus fucking gas to get you fucking forks.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And also, them motherfuckers are irritable. I think I told you boys about how fucking DoorDash drivers squared up to me over my soda.
Nope.
What?
This is another doplexism.
Yeah. Well, one time I ordered Taco Bell because I think it was like, I was homesick or something. This is like before, like pre-pandemic, pre-work from home. And I ordered some Taco Bell and I ordered a Baja Blast. And the dude shows up and he gives me my food, but there was no Baja nor was there Blast. I was like, hey, I had a drink. He's like, no, you didn't. I was like, yes, I did. I paid for it, sir. And I showed him my receipt. And then he started like getting all defensive. Like I was accusing him of like stealing it. And then like he like started like pulling up his pants and like, he was like doing this. And this is like a fucking, he was like a 60-year-old like Arabian dude. And he was like, started pulling up his pants like, he was getting ready to square up to me. He was like, no, I was just asking if you had my drink, dude.
He reverted back to monk. He felt the tiniest bit of embarrassment and then was like, well, I either get rid of the guy that embarrassed me yeah. or, you know,
kill
like,
myself.
Or run away.
And lose yeah. my entire job.
Yeah.
Or...
yeah.
He's like a GTA NPC when you like run, bump into them slightly. He just yeah. immediately starts squaring
yeah.
up at you.
He just locks onto me.
The only story I can think of from my entire 3-week trip back in New Zealand was when I was at the airport. I was talking to you guys and you guys gassed me up into getting McDonald's breakfast there too.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I got in. I remember that they only have Hungry Jack's / Burger King.
That's right.
There. And I was like, well, fuck. I still want McDonald's breakfast. So I went and got one of their piece of shit like muffins and... with like a coffee or whatever, and first of all, the guy, everyone in the entire process seemed like they wanted to fight me. Like they just, they seemed miserable. They were at it, working at Hungry Jack's at 8 a.m.
Fuck you,
which
want
is fair enough.
Fuck you, honest.
But they call out my number and I go up and there's just the food there and I was like, oh hey, sorry, I got a coffee too. As she's like the coffee machine's on the right, she's walking like away to the left. And yeah. I was like, oh excuse me, sorry, there was a coffee zone. She's like, yeah, I'm getting it. And I was like, all right. And then
okay.
she starts pulling up her
she
pants.
Like walked somewhere else and then came back and then went to the coffee machine and then yeah. got me my coffee. And I was like, why'd you call my number out of piano? Was that shit to do first? And then acted like I'm the asshole.
She went to go fucking swipe her inside of her butt cheeks with yeah. her hand before she made your coffee.
Yeah. You had like a dialogue yeah. oh, tree. Like you
yeah,
antagonized.
Exactly. I picked the wrong. I didn't know the charisma checks. But then yeah. the funniest part of the whole thing was I sat down. And I got one of those shitty like McMuffin knockoff things. I'd like to point out the name is literally muffin. Like the
buck muffin.
The entire concept of this revolves around the muffin. I sit down, open it up. It's a bun. They just put a sausage and egg patty in a bun.
Oh, it was like a seeded hamburger bun.
It was yeah. a seeded hamburger bun. And at no point did they say like, oh, sorry, we're out of muffins as a bun. They were just like, oh, you can deal with it. Just the cherry on top was the bun was freezing cold.
Of course it was.
See,
of
people,
course it was.
A bit of punch.
People think that that so many attacks and killings and bombings happen at airports because, you know, there's people. It's the first place you come into at the country, right. And because yeah. there's so many civilians there and so much loss of life. No, it's just because fucking and nobody at the airport can do anything. The Sbarro's yeah. doesn't even know how to fucking cook the pizza long enough so the cheese isn't yellow.
They have, like airports have to be the lowest standards for any chain restaurants because it's like, what yeah. are you gonna do, bitch? Mm. Go somewhere else.
Yeah.
All the worst food I've ever had in my life, it was at an airport. Especially when you try something new, like the McDonald's is gonna be a 5 out of 10, but you know what you're getting into. But like, right. you know, one time I flew to Florida. This is when I still lived in Jersey, and I was going to Philly all the time. But I flew to Florida and got this place called Philly Pete's, which I think I've said on the podcast before. If you ever see a fucking Philly Pete's, you're better off throwing up and on a pigeon and then eating the pigeon raw than fucking eating Philly Pete's.
Isn't but, that what they serve?
Yeah, it's fucking
puke pigeon.
The pilots know what they're doing. They give all the good shit to the pilots so yeah. they can.
They have
enough brain
skill
power.
Tree. They have a pooled skill tree and they put all their points yeah. in the pilots. Meanwhile, yeah. the Sbarro employees are fucking running around with their dicks in their hands like, what? Where do I put this?
It must be terrible to work at an airport, though. Like, especially to work at an airport but not work for the airport.
Yeah.
Like, to drive into it. Because going
to
an airport. Yeah, and getting to an airport is always in the worst place ever, and there's so much traffic, and the parking doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And the people all fucking suck.
Yeah, honestly.
Everyone's stressed all the time.
But you can't just put sausage and egg on a fucking burger bun.
Yeah, anyway, sorry, sticky. We got super off track. Oh, yeah. Tell us your fucking Chipotle story.
You got killed by Mr. Chipotle.
Yeah, so I was... this just hit my brain recently, but this is probably my first catastrophic Chipotle story from...
The origins.
This is the
Assassin's Chipotle, Creed origins.
Chipotle colon origins.
Yeah.
the prequel.
The prequel.
This is a 2015 when I was working at Chipotle. It was my first job.
Listening to Gangnam Style.
I did not know this part of the story. Yeah, you've been on both sides of the counter.
I have.
James,
I was
like pissed off some high ranking Chipotle employee and they put a hex on him.
Yeah, well, so that was my first job. It was in a mall, so there was like the back entrance into like the fucking weird skeleton hallways of malls. I don't know if you ever worked in a mall.
Yeah,
you
know
like,
exactly
it's just a weird, just garbage and shit back
there.
They're
like back rooms
and like
basically.
Dead bodies.
Yeah.
The employee room was like right in the room between the restaurant and that. And one day they just really pissed me off. I think I don't even remember. I don't know. All I remember was the bitch's name. The manager that day was Rana, and I fucking hated her.
Fuck
and
Rana.
And she did something.
Fuck Rana.
She did something, fuck and Rana. I remember I like aggressively grabbed my lunchbox, which was like so like the least hard thing you could do. And I was just like, fuck you. It was like my first job. I didn't know. Well,
Thomas
and I ran out into the back of the mall, like the skeleton, the back hallways of the mall, and just ran until I could find a way out.
Black beans falling out of
your
pockets.
Yeah.
Crying. That's like actually the start of like an indie horror game.
Yeah.
Objective, find your way out of the mall back rooms.
Yeah. Then
escape Rana.
Behind all the Chinese places and the one Japanese place, it was always just like a group of them smoking cigarettes and like ashing them on the fucking boxes of food and stuff. It was so epic. So at the Chipotle, I remember for some reason I had two shirts. They gave us like more than a few shirts. It's just like a black shirt with fucking shit on it in Chipotle.
Yeah.
But I brought in my second shirt that day. I think I was working a double and I would just get like really gross. It was in between my shifts. I had to shit and I wanted to change my shirt because I was disgusted.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was working like, it was like a 10 hour. It was like open to close. So I went into the bathroom and
so you had
I
had to take the mid shift shit to change your shirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's a bar.
Yeah. At that job, the best thing about Chipotle was the reason I wanted to work there was you got, if you worked for more than 6 hours, you got a mid shift meal and it was literally as much as you could fit in a bowl. Or
that's
a burrito.
Okay.
And it was fully free.
Hard.
It was fully
that
free. It doesn't matter if you filled the bowl with 8 scoops of chicken. It was free as long as it was in the bowl.
Yeah.
And then you could get a bag of chips and like that was cool too. So I would literally, and this is when I was much fitter. So I would get a bowl and I would get 6 scoops of meat and then just rice and corn. And that was basically, and guacamole. And I would just fucking go crazy and with chips.
Oh,
so I did that. But It started going through me. So I was like, all right, I got to, but I was wearing jeans and I never wore jeans. I've always been a shorts guy and I was wearing a belt and the belt was weird because it was one of those braided belts that doesn't actually have, it doesn't actually have holes. You just put the thing through one of the braids wherever.
Yeah.
And I went into the bathroom and that got stuck.
Oh,
and
no.
That got stuck.
No.
And I'm like pulling on it and it's like in a cartoon, like rubber banding me and my body's like going like, whoop, whoop. Like I'm like, fucking, and
your muscle like displacements,
a
like
routine.
Yeah. Your muscle displacements going to like different parts of your body. So you're like,
no, yeah. I'm like, exactly. Fucking
your head gets all big.
And of course I had the jeans. That's not a zipper in one button. It's like 4 buttons instead of a zipper.
Yeah.
So I have to undo all the buttons and I pull it down. And as I'm pulling down, I just start shitting all over myself. I'm like shitting in my underwear and I'm shitting on my belt in the back of my pants and I'm fucking
you're standing up.
That looses your
I'm like going to sit down over the seat and like pulling them. I'm just like all one motion. Then
I just
kind of shit a little bit on it. And then
this was immediately after yanking your lunchbox.
That was just a different story. I don't even know why that came
okay.
up.
Okay, I thought this was directly after. Yeah. I thought this was the craziest sequence of events.
No,
yeah.
no,
yeah.
This was just mid shift.
It would be funny to tug away your lunchbox and go pull your pants.
Immediately shit yourself.
Fucking, I pull my pants. Gotta go home.
There wasn't a whole lot of toilet paper in there, and this was like creamy.
Oh,
this was like as my bowels were full, and it was all fucking half and half cream, bro. Yeah. It was fucking. So, luckily, I didn't shit on my first shirt because I already had it. This was like one of those shits where you're like, the first thing I did in the bathroom was take off my shirt because I was like, fuck, you know, this is not gonna be good.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I had to use that shirt. To clean all the shit out of my pants.
Oh my god.
Clean all the shit out of my pants and clean the shit off my butt cheeks. And then put that in the garbage and like bury it in shit so that people didn't know. But there was still obviously doo-doo on my pants and drawers. So
like on the outside?
On the inside. Just not much, but it was, you know, like the trail, the fucking snail trail.
Right.
So I had to get as much as I could off, and it was, and then put them back on, put my shirt back on, and be like, "Hey guys, I'm just gonna go like grab something after I just ate fucking 4,000 calories of Chipotle. I'm just gonna go grab something to eat before I clock back in." And I had to go to a store, like Land's End or something in Menlo Mall in New Jersey. I don't even know if that's still open or fucking I think Land's End or Nordstrom or something, and buy new pants and boxers, put them on in the dressing room, and I just ripped the tags off and was like, "Hey, I have to buy," you know. So I'm walking out in the fucking clothes and have to buy. And it was, and then I left, and then I went to their bathroom and stuffed my shit pants in their garbage and buried it all in their garbage.
A trail of your DNA.
yeah. And then I just went back and worked for like 4 hours.
Dude, what would you have done if like a cop with, you know, a bloodhound like started like sniffing around like the whole area? He's like, "Come on, boy, fine." And they walked right up to you. They're like, "Sir,
what do you have?
Are these your
pump?
Shitty pants?" We found them in Nordstrom.
And the bloodhound's like cold, gooey nose is like fucking my chocolate starfish. Just like,
just deep.
It's a brown hand.
I'm like, "Oh, officer, you gotta make a stop."
Officer. But yeah, that was my first Chipotle massacre. More.
That was
a sign of things to come. You should have done that.
That was the curse.
Put the Chipotle again.
Honestly, I think that's what it is. You know how like you know when you have houses that are like buried on Indian burial grounds.
Yeah.
That your shitty ass shirt that you tucked away in the trash can is like your fucking Aztecian skull.
It's like
It's cursed.
Something unholy must have happened at the Chipotle near your place.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah,
it's probably that was probably buried on like, I don't know, Taco Bell burial ground or something.
Yeah, exactly. Burial ground. The what I think it was though, I've like a week later, I was sweeping the whatever you call it, the fucking cafeteria, you know. Or
the lobby.
And
board.
This lady was pulling out her wallet. to pay for her food, and it was like a Coach bag, and like so I was like, all right, but. Like a $20 bill fell out of her wallet onto the floor.
Oh. Yeah.
And I kind of just like shuffled up behind her and like swept it into the garbage and then like went to dump the garbage and took it and put it in my pocket. It's like, what's $20? But when you're like 16, it's like, hey, that's fucking.
That's the whole world right there.
You just doubled your hourly.
Yeah.
But like literally, I just shuffled up like so close, like sweeping the back of her heels and just like, okay, it's clean.
Honestly, I don't blame you. I've done much worse.
That job sucked, man.
Yeah.
How did it end? How did you quit?
Yeah, did you get fired? Or did you quit?
No, that
he
was
said,
the
fuck you to the manager. Grabbed
my
lunchbox.
Yeah, I said fuck.
I screamed at her.
Grabbed my lunchbox and like Napoleon Dynamite, like fucking sprinted off into like. They just watched me sprint into like this door, this abandoned door into the back of the mall that no one's ever used. I just ran, never to return.
Sweeping up a cafeteria just reminded me of my friend Shorty worked for. a wee while he worked as like a cleaner in one of those places, like just you know, the guys who like pick up the trays and throw the shit out and like take them back to the stores or whatever. And it was a fucking miserable job. I think he only worked there for like a month or a couple of weeks or something. But he said like he kind of got to the end of it and he was just like, you know what, fuck this job. And he just like gave up one night at like 7 p.m. on a Friday or something. Yeah. But it was only two people working, him and another guy. And he just quit. And apparently that guy had to do all of the dishes and all the
cleaning.
And he didn't go home till 3 a.m.
Oh, God.
That fucking sucks.
That
tragedy.
Is the situation.
Get
in
fucked,
which
idiot.
You quit. It's just like, yeah, it's too late. There's only one other guy. And you're looking down the barrel of, you know, some massive cleaning job. And you're like, it's not worth
it. I'm not going to do this.
Should have hired a janitor.
Yeah, I'm out.
But speaking of sucking her in penis, trash cans and sucking on Kudos' penis. What was I going to say?
Doplex. And
yes.
I believe April of last year, you wrote in the in Talking Points, what if black eyed peas were called black guy peas? That'd be funny, I think. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, you want to talk about that?
There wasn't Doplex didn't put anything in this week, so I went hunting for ones
okay,
we missed.
Let me elaborate on that. So imagine, you know, black eyed peas, right?
Okay.
Black eyed peas. I think that would change the rap game, you know.
How would Let's Get It Started be different if it was black guy peas?
Let's get,
you know, that song, that keeps... is the original song. That is actually the original song.
I know.
Well, I was explaining to Kudos.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I remember on Downhill Domination for PS2, they had that shit on the OST, and I was like, yo, they said in this fucking bicycle game.
Anyway, to your point before Doplex, I did see a man at a I went to an arcade a few weeks ago, and you know, I'm sure you guys have probably all experienced this, but you ever been to an arcade that has one of those punching bag things?
Yeah.
I haven't, but I know.
It has a little counter.
You put money in or whatever, and like a punching bag drops down. You have to punch it as hard as you can. And
yeah,
it's probably just as rigged as like everything else. But it definitely takes into account how hard you punch, but then they probably just like throw a bit of a random number generator on top of that.
There's actually a little Scooby-Doo guy in the machine that like gauges you when you walk up on your form and everything, and then changes the difficulty depending on.
He's in the bag, and depending on how sore he is. How
much it hurts.
If you get a 999, he pops out and fucking eats your soul or whatever Scrappy-Doo does in the IRL Scrappy-Doo movie.
Scrappy-Doo comes out, he has his red rocket out.
I don't want to see that.
Scrappy-Doo's becoming the new Shallow Hal of this podcast, I think.
Yeah,
he really is.
Yeah,
yeah. We haven't mentioned Shallow Hal in a minute.
We have it, and I literally
it's been a long time.
The fucking DVD. Where is it?
Kudos. What's your favorite Shallow Hal line?
I'm Shallow Hal.
That's mine too. Mine is. Hi guys. I don't know. Let's take a break here from the movie, and you guys should check out my movie School of Rock with Megan from Joey and Josh.
With Megan Trainor.
Okay, back to where I kiss old women or whatever.
Back to where I fuck a fat chick.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome if movies had like YouTube sponsorships like that in the middle of them. Hey guys, Jack Black here. Before we continue in the movie, I would really love if you guys came and watched my new movie, School of Rock.
They should get Melissa Minono to fucking...
Maria Menounos, congrats on starting a family, by the way. I did want to give her a personal congratulations.
I wish it was
on
me
her pregnancy.
I saw that before Avatar. She just did a whole minute on how she was really excited to have a kid, and it wasn't really...
They showed like full like penetrative POV sex of her being a priest.
This is a video of her fucking her husband.
I thought it was pretty cool, you know. I enjoyed it.
It was the like reverse like gooch shot as well, where you can't see any of the faces.
You see big saggy nuts.
You see big saggy nuts wigging
and
in front
of the
screen.
And a dude's poopy doo-doo hole.
Yeah, and you know that man don't want.
Yeah, you can tell.
You know Melissa Manunu's husband has a shitty ass.
Don't wipe.
Yeah, fucking Marissa fucking Makoko fucking
Marissa Menounos. Meninas Renines.
Wait, so you punched a fucking dog in a punching bag? What happened?
Yeah. So
you beat a dog?
You beat up a dog? That's crazy.
No, this story does not involve me, unfortunately. I was at an arcade.
You strangled the child.
And there was one of those there. And it was just so funny because there was this fucking like meathead guy in like a singlet who I think for half an hour straight did nothing but the punching bag thing.
Just waiting for people to walk and by.
It's like that thing is so fucking loud as well. Yeah, right? It's like a big rubber ball that some meathead's punching. So like you just be chilling there like fucking playing Cruising USA or whatever. And then you just hear. And then it like and then he resets himself. And he fucking, you know.
Just some dude but, so that was staring funny. At the number like. I can do better.
Like 5-10 minutes go past, this guy's just been punching the whole time. And then I realize he's got not only a kid, but like a wife with him.
Or just watching him punch.
No. Whoever he had the child with. And she's sitting in like, there's like a cafe-ish area.
Yeah.
And she's just sitting at one of the tables with no drink or food, just reading her phone, looking so bored. And then on top of that, his daughter's like, Dad, can we play the racing game? And she's like standing on the like the Cruising USA or whatever the car game is, like trying to drive, but like there's no money in it, so she's not. She's like, Daddy, can we please play this? Bro. And he just keeps nailing the fucking punching. over. So and then eventually he did go and like play a game with a girl with his daughter, and then immediately goes back to punching.
My dude, fucking
he probably fucking
the biggest loser I've ever seen.
He probably peeked over his wife's shoulder and saw she liked The Rock's recent Instagram post and was just like, "I need to show her how much this hurts me."
And practice on her next.
I was gonna say I'm about to show her what a real man looks like in this Dave and Buster's.
Every arcade I've ever went to was dead empty besides me and whoever I went with.
I've never been
in a packed arcade.
I feel like every arcade I've been to is packed.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm moving to Texas, and Texas is like arcade capital.
Hold on. Wait. Courtney, can you put the Texas alarm on screen?
Courtney, can you put a picture of Texas here?
How are you getting back, bro?
My physical primordial form is moving to Texas. However, mental state is living right here on this planet.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But I'm excited to go check out the arcades there because they got a lot of them, and I like playing. I'm a gamer.
Known
I like
for
playing
its arcades.
Games. Yeah. It's arcades
and it's racism.
It says it
on the sign when you drive in. It's just like, welcome to the arcade state.
They have a big Pac-Man machine outside of the fucking state lines.
Yeah, they.
You go in, you got a Pac-Man machine and a place to like rat on somebody for having an abortion. They're like right next to each other.
And a punching bag.
They have those, how they have those basketball ones where you really shoot the basketball. They have one of those, but it's just a fucking Colt 1911 on a wire, so you can't aim it off, but you can still shoot real fucking bullets. And they put all the people that get abortions on the back side of it and have the bullets go through and kill them.
But on the front, it's just like a but on the front, it's just like a piece of fucking wax paper, like little like little cute characters that you think you're shooting, but you're assassinating. You play Fire Squad.
Oh my goodness.
It's just an Osama bin Laden cutout from 2011. You remember that? Like every fucking shooting range in the country was just those cutouts of Osama bin Laden.
I remember that.
Dude, do you ever go to like, I don't know if we ever talked about this, but if you go to like Newgrounds and you like sort, if you go back because it's been a thing for so long, if you go back to like if you go back to like the day of and the day after 9/11. Like the type of games people were making and like animations are so cooked.
Dude, this one's like the day it happened. Like someone just like somehow threw together like a like bomb Middle Eastern children.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah,
game.
It's that
like,
one.
Within like a few hours of 9/11 happening.
Yeah,
it's
but
crazy
they're like actual
around.
Like photos of like Middle Eastern kids that you like kill. It's like the amount of fucking patriotism that were like running through these.
After Osama bin Laden or 9/11?
9/11. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Literally, like, day of.
It was, like,
day
of
9/11.
Yeah. Like, obviously, they're all, like, awful thrown together in a couple hours, but it's so crazy that someone's first reaction was like, I need some Newgrounds comment.
Yeah. I'm gonna go kill Middle Eastern children on Newgrounds.
There's a really funny video out there of Mega 64. Somehow they were doing a live podcast in 2011. I have no idea how they had... they were doing that or how they had the
like
infrastructure to
TV or something.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. Yeah, but and it was like a full setup and everything, but they were in their like warehouse.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
One of them is just like, "Yo, we just killed Osama bin Laden." And then for four minutes it's just all of them dancing around with shirtless American flags and like a skeleton with a fucking like like a beard on it and smashing it and shit. It's so funny. And they're listening to the Hulk Hogan theme song. It's like, what is it?
I'm a real American.
Yeah,
I am also Hulk Hogan.
It's so funny.
Do you want to get Chipotle with me? It's okay if you don't. I'm busy, actually. Hulk Hogan kind of fell off.
He really did, bro. He fell the fuck off.
That theme song really fucked him. The Chipotle theme song where he said he's really desperate to go on a date with you, but he doesn't want to commit.
Hulk Hogan, like 80 years old.
Yeah, probably.
He's had white hair for like 50 years.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. Hulk Hogan always kind of freaked me out. He's got like that like very specific pastiness to him, you know? He's like, it's like the super fair hair and then like fucking orange skin, like orange, almost like charred skin. Like, I just feel like if you touched him, your finger would like burn, you know?
You'd get like, that's what like dust
every elderly person in Australia looks like. They've just been roasting in the hot Australian sun for 80 years. They're like leather people. It's disgusting. Yeah.
I did always think that was weird. How, like, a lot of Australians do like look pretty leather-like. But it matches the accent. Like, it to me, like, it feels distinguished. Like, when I see like an Australian man on TV who's got like the leather skin, I'm like, that dude's cool. I'd hang out with him, you know.
Those are the ones you don't want to hang out with.
They probably like just took one of those potions in fucking like Harry Potter, the fucking Edamaster that turns you into snow stone. Yeah, you get like a +2 defense buff.
Yeah,
yeah, but they like dive skin cancer within like 6 seconds of taking it.
Yeah,
yeah, it weakens their immune system, but it levels up their physical defense.
Yeah,
James, you had a story about a Reddit penis that you very vaguely put in talking points. I've been very curious about this.
So it was very weird. I was on a Dance Gavin Dance subreddit in like at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and there was just this dude posting about how their new album, or a dude who just commented like way down a chain about how their new album's fucking mid and they suck and they haven't been good since Kurt was in the band, which is like 12 years ago. And I was just like, yes. Kurt hasn't been in the band in, I don't even know, what is it, 11 years now or something, like 2012
like
or something?
2011.
Yeah, so 12 years. And I was like, how and why are you still here then? I don't, like, are you just here to comment that you don't like their albums for the last 12 years? So I, you know, I went to go click on his page and see what else he was about. And I wanted to see if he was, like, constantly commenting, which he wasn't. So but then I was going to leave his page and I hit posts instead of comments.
Yeah.
And his most recent post was him posting his big, fat, uncensored, fucking hard penis to a subreddit that was like, what do you guys think about this?
Rate my cock.
It was just so
strange. A subreddit for that, right? Like, he was posting it to the Dance Gavin Dance.
I think it was rate my cock or like one of those fucking, it's like, you're just like a sick cock. Freaked him. But
rage with a T.
You
know what's funny? I had an experience like that pretty much like after I saw that talking point. I was on, I forgot what subreddit, it was like some like video game subreddit, and so
I was posting my penis to a subreddit.
I saw this guy that made me feel insecure,
and I checked his account and he posted his penis. And then I was like, wait, what?
It was like some guy, he was asking for like help with like modding the game, and like people like were giving, he wasn't happy with the answers, so he started telling people like kill themselves, and like I was so curious.
What the fuck?
Yeah, like he was so out of pocket, and like, you know, whenever I see somebody just like operating themselves in such like a weird foreign manner, I'll go to
like
their subreddit.
When they're correcting people who post old people to the subreddit and you just want to
you just want to see how their psyche works.
If someone was to do something like that, but I kind of mentioned
right. So I went to his page, and like this dude frequents like fucking like NoFap and like just all these like crazy ass sites, but not in the way that
you
think.
That's why he's telling people to kill himself, bro. He's got so much semen it like took over his brain.
Yeah, exactly. But like I almost like felt kind of sad because like I was just like reading like through all his posts, and like some of them were like, this dude like apparently he lost like his life savings and like his wife and his house like to porn because he couldn't stop just spending all his time like gooning basically. Oh, and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. So that was like, a crazy rabbit hole I went down on this random guy. Yeah.
Did you see that new JSP psychology video? It was like the first one they posted in like 2 years. Not JSP. What's that channel?
Oh, Jim Can't Swim? JCS?
Yeah, JCS. They just posted their first video in like a year or two years. Because they got like fucked by YouTube. Yeah. But it's a guy that murdered his entire family because he spent his dad's life savings of $300,000 on some Russian cam actress.
Oh my god.
And his dad cut him off and then made him go to like sex rehab. And then he came back and tried to start talking to the girl again, and his dad kicked him out. So he came back, killed his entire family, and then took all their credit cards and beat off in a parking lot to her for 6 hours and spent like $20,000.
God damn.
What the fuck?
That is insane.
Dude, you know, I like the porn addiction conversation clearly is so widespread in who you can be. Because, you know, sometimes it's like you jerk off and you're like, man, am I a bad person? You know, like, is this bad for me? And then you hear stories of a guy blowing like $320,000 jerking off in a parking lot. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Like that's so many things in my life. It's just like you get really like self-conscious. Like, oh, wow, am I not doing this right? Or like. The other day, even though I think I have like ADHD because I really struggle to like focus on things sometimes.
Yeah.
You and me both. But brother. I have a friend who actually does have ADHD, and we were at a mall the other day, and we're waiting for a third friend, and I was just waiting outside this place where we said we'd meet him. And I was just standing there, and I was like, just read my phone a little bit while I waited, and then just put my phone away, and then it was just kind of like content, like looking around, like looking at the mall and, you know, just people watching and shit.
Looking at the mall.
Friend with ADHD could not stand still. He was like, I'm just gonna go over here, and he like went and looked at some food, and he came back, he's like, I'm just gonna go over here, and like just kept like cutting laps around this entire place. And I was like, oh, okay, that's what actual ADHD is. I'm just like as lazy. I'm not I don't have ADHD.
That's me.
So I thought there's a lot of shit like that where you like you get lost in this thought of like, oh wow, I'm this thing, or that, or like I'm dying, I've got ball cancer, this is it, I'm over. And then you actually like see people who actually have those problems, and you're like, oh, I'm okay.
Yeah,
which is good to like be wary of that sort of stuff because it can like slippery slope, I suppose. But totally. You're probably fine.
I think when it comes to porn, if you're not, I've told the stories about how when I used to work in at the sex store, you'd see some real porn addicts there. Like, these are motherfuckers who pay women to literally eat their shit, which has happened. And I think I talked about that on Beef Boys.
Crazy.
Like, there's definitely...
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, a slope to it. But, I think as long as you're not, you know, doing murder-suicide type...
Hey, as long as you're having fun, that's all that matters.
Yeah, as long as you're having fun tugging on your little wiener, then...
That's whenever
I hear about shit like that, I feel like Ted... or whatever. I just want to fucking...
It's like it's been one whole episode since James has made a credible threat.
Yeah, we're back to zero days since James fucking
made a threat. To put that in the set background.
We should put like a little threat.
That's a good idea.
Okay, I'll put it next to the Glenn Quagmire sticker James with this while he was high.
No, have Quagmire holding up the counter. So that way we can update it every time James makes a pointed threat.
Turn me into Quagmire.
We get Sabrina to render a beautiful like Quagmire holding up the table. We sit in front of like Atlas holding up the world.
And you can only see like the bottom of his hands. It could be anybody.
Yeah, it gets cut off. That is
because we spend all this time like doing the rest of the set that no one will ever see.
That is true. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
One day, hopefully, we can release them as whips and people can turn them into stuff. Because there's so many details in our sets that Sabrina puts together and then Kudos refines and we all go over and like, there's so much fucking shit that we just never even no one ever even sees, but we just do it for the love of the game.
Yeah, I think somebody asked if I think somebody wanted to like turn our Beef Boys sets into like a Doom level, which I thought was kind of sick.
That'd be sick. This new one gives me Pavlov vibes. Like you could definitely play like TTT on this new one. It's totally. The setup of it is just fucking
Sabrina and Kudos went sicko mode.
Speaking of going sicko mode on stuff, so recently I was thinking about what made me want to level up in the sense that we all kind of just found content as like an outlet, but then there was a point where we all started taking it seriously. Mm. And yes. I was wondering what prompted that change in you where you were like, oh, this is actually, you know, because like growing up, Lord of the Rings is one of the things that made me want to start doing it. It was like, doing shit like that is cool.
Yeah.
But then I started doing YouTube, and back then I was like, man, I don't want to like actually try, because what if people like look at it and they see that I'm trying and then
try but hard. Then it's not, think I'm gay.
Yeah, and they think I'm gay because I try at stuff.
They think I'm gay because I rap Jake
classic
Paul backwards.
Classic gay people being good at everything, bro.
Fucking, it's like a gay bell curve where it's like you don't try, so you're straight. Yeah. And you do try, you're gay, but then you try and you succeed and you get popular, then you're bisexual. Straight again. But there's like a valley of gayness you have to like get
over. You have
over.
To cross the valley of
gay. Though I walk through the valley of gay, I will fear no evil.
Though I walk through the valley of being
shadow of gay. I take a look at my life.
I take a look at
my realize there's a dick in my ass.
Yeah. So through my valley of gay, the thing that got me through my valley of gay. No, but so I started doing YouTube, and I was doing, and thinking back on it now, it's like that is the cringiest shit. I was doing, we talked about it last week. I was doing fucking phase videos and marshmallow fucking challenges.
Yeah,
and
chubby penis challenge.
Yeah, chubby penis. I would. Yeah, we could see how much of my cock could fit in my friend's mouth.
Four inches.
Imagine putting your boy's cock in your mouth and saying chubby bunny.
Chubby bunny. But like four guys do it. It's like one of your all male sleepovers. One, two.
Chubby bunny.
someone nuts and everyone's like, dude, what the fuck?
Everyone's
you just made it
gay.
We just crossed the valley of gay.
You come out of your mouth, you're like, that's gay, man.
Dude, we're supposed to come
you
in
start,
my
you
mouth.
You start spitting cum into each other's mouths. It's like, dude, that's gay.
Dude, what are you doing?
It's like those fucking lizards that shoot blood out of their eyes. You sound like using it as like a defense mechanism.
Yeah,
your mom comes down and there's just like four 16-year-old dudes in a room like
cum in their eyes.
Dude, each other being gay. It's like the fucking Mexican standoff scene from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but everyone's just got cum in their mouth.
This is
a good bit.
A great bit. Anyway.
So leveling up.
Yeah, so when my friends cummed in my face and I really wanted to level up, so I didn't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So I remember it was I started doing YouTube in like December of 2016. I started my channel in like March of 2017, and then I was doing all that cringe. I made like 50 videos in like fucking 3 months.
Yeah,
and then in May of 2017, a little thing that I rediscovered it, not rediscovered, but I started listening to it again recently, and it reminded me that this is what happened. But Filthy Frank put out, who's obviously, you know, just a comedy guy, edgy guy. He makes 3-minute video and he just yells about stuff. But then he put out The Prophecy.
Oh, The Prophecy.
Which was the culmination of like Pink Guy.
Yeah.
Because in, I think, September of 2017, he put out that last video with that book and then never made anything again.
Yeah.
So it was kind of the coming to the head of that. And he put out Pink Prophecy or The Prophecy or something. And it's four of his songs that are all remixed and strung together and like, you know, take it from like he recorded on like an AT2020 in like the most echoey fucking bathroom ever, and then like redid them all. He got like Getter on it and shit, and like remixed it all and made it this whole. It's shut a 13 minute song of four songs strung together. It's so well done, and then did a music video for it, and that music video is legit one of the best music videos I've ever seen in my entire life from anybody, and not because it's fucking Filthy Frank and I'm trying to like that shit. It has such a consistent and like like pertinent aesthetic to it, and like the editing to it is insane. And I remember seeing that, and I was like, man, this guy, this funny guy, he just went gay style, and he's and he made it through the valley.
That's true.
And now he's straight again. So if he can do it, then what am I? What do I fear? Yeah. I can make it through the valley of gay and realize that I'm very straight.
Right.
I take a look at myself and
realize I'm kind of gay.
Hey, shout out gay people. This is just it's just a funny metaphor. I love you.
Gay people. Let me suck
hey, spit your cum in my mouth.
It's funny making fun of like the just the middle school ass fucking idea of that like gay is bad.
Yeah, but I remember seeing that, and that gave me the itch of like okay, it's actually cool to be good at things. I should try that.
It's cool to be good.
And then like 3 months in September of 2017, I found Jakey the day that he posted the beer video. I think it was like September 3rd. I could be wrong on that, but and then I saw that, and then he kind of. That helped. That was like, oh, I'm gonna fucking, that's what I want to do. Yeah. So like Filthy Frank was like, that's cool, I want to try. And then Jakey was showed me how to try.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, you know, what took Andrew from to Andrew Miller?
Many different things. Well, I guess because you queued it up, I'll go first. So I had a couple of different channels. We talked about this last episode. I had the gaming channel, which still remain unnamed.
Yeah.
And then I had a movie review channel by myself briefly that sucked. And then I was going to start up another channel with friends. And we were just in that time of college where it was like, everybody's kind of busy. We're all going to go places. Like, this isn't going to actually last. And this was 2019, I think, 2018, 2019. And I think the thing that kind of set me on the... Because, like, I had a lot of people I took inspiration from early on. As far... Like, JonTron's kind of way he does his movie reviews back in the day. Yeah. I was a big fan of that. And I was like, oh, I like this format. And then, you know, at the time, you know, Gus and Eddie. Yeah, Jakey. Yeah, like a bunch of that kind of content coming out, and I was like, okay, I think I can kind of sprinkle in like some sketches or some shit like this that's more commentary, my own Christian shit that I talk about.
Yeah.
And we'll just see which one kind of ends up being the theme of it. So it'd probably honestly be just like that kind of 2018, 2019 era of YouTube where people were just like, you had like the Gus and Eddie podcast. Jakey was making shit, just all of those guys kind of, you know, making cool stuff. And I was like, okay, I think I can give YouTube like an actual shot here.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens.
That was such a good time on YouTube, bro.
It was a very good time on YouTube. I was just thinking about that because we've said it so many times, but scrolling through YouTube these days is just like, I don't know, maybe I haven't done enough exploring of other channels, but it's like, this shit dead.
Yeah.
There's just like not enough fun like stuff getting uploaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, also all of them have really pulled back, all those guys, but yeah, it's feeling especially soulless recently. But what has inspired Kudos and Doplex to try and bring the soul back?
Doplex, you go first.
Well,
sweetest.
I mean, I am the one with the most soul considering I'm a minority.
Oh, stop it. Still,
You know, I was doing YouTube on the side while I was working my fucking dead-end job as a debt collector, and I was like, you know, I want to do some more creative shit. And then, yeah, I think...
debt collection pranks.
You should have done that. You kind of did with the scam calls.
That is true, yeah, I did kind of do that. Yeah, I don't know, I mean, probably just fucking, yeah, just like, you know, new as years pass...
Wait, really quick, Doplex wasn't scamming... people with debts.
Right, yeah.
His debt agency would get calls from scam houses and he would scam them.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that.
I
appreciate that.
It sounded like you're like, like I was scamming old ladies out of extra debts. You're like, no, you actually owe $31,000, not $1,000.
Yeah.
Please send the other 30 to this separate Amazon account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, you know, like as years pass, you know, you find different things that inspire you at the time. You know, I feel like if we're talking about the Valley of Gay, I definitely started my YouTube channel just not taking myself seriously. And like, you know, I was very much like, you know, I obviously used to watch H3 back in the day. He kind of did the whole like, yeah. you know, I'm fat and I know it kind of bit. You know, it's like
yeah.
where you're kind of like the butt of the joke, you know. So I would try to do that. And then I realized, I was like, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's like one thing where you kind of, back in the day, it was funny to sort of be like the butt of the joke. But then like,
yeah.
you realize you kind of limit yourself in terms of content where it's like, all right, I'm just making fun of myself. But I wanted, you know, obviously I really like doing video essays, and I feel like video essays are like fun because, you know, there's a plethora of subjects out there that are fascinating to make videos on. I feel like that's kind of what made me want to level up, that plus editing. Like editing is also part of the fun. So it's like if I can edit something fun out of something, then I want to do the ding.
Yeah.
So that's
how
me.
Did you? Yeah, you're easily like, you know, the craziest editor.
Oh, I don't know about that. Come
that
on.
I think we can all agree pretty safely on. But like, how did you start? And we're like, what got you into that? Because you didn't, you know. Go to school for it. Or
yeah.
Anything.
I mean, honestly,
not that you need to, but yeah.
yeah. I mean, you know, YouTube is free. Thank God. Honestly, like my first YouTube video was edited by, my boy, Tan, a fellow Filipino. I'm not Filipino. I'm not Filipino, but he was a fellow
Filipino.
Yeah. He taught me my boy Raph, who was also a fellow Pino. Because he edited our first video and we had no fucking clue. And then I think after that we're like, dude, we should learn how to edit. That'd be kind of fun. So I think I still have like the raw files on my computer, like the raw files of like the first shit we filmed. And it was like we set up this green screen outside. It was like nighttime, and we had like it was like literally one of these lamps. Courtney, show this. And like we just had it, and what we did was it was like horror movies in real life, right? So it was like, This is what saw would look like in real life, and the joke was that we were just sawing wood. It was like that was the bit.
Oh, sure, yeah, just literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So it was just a lot
very
of like
funny joke, please.
Yeah, thank you. That was my intellectual property. But it was it was a lot of just like slow burn, just like, you know, a lot of YouTube tutorials, fucking learning new programs, and honestly, it was just anybody out there who wants to get into editing. There's a YouTube channel that is solely responsible for pretty much everything I personally know how to do. It's literally called Learn How to Edit Stuff. Just go to his YouTube channel and you just watch his entire channel and you will become an editor.
Tell him we say hi.
Yeah, tell him we said hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's how I learned, was that YouTube channel. He taught me everything I know.
That's cool.
Kudos, how did you get across the gay valley?
I've always wanted to do like video stuff. Like I always like film shit when I was a kid, like just, you know, dumb little things like digital cameras and like, you know, to get the stuff from my friends or whatever. And then I don't know, I just wasn't really like in the right space after university. I was trying to like become a 3D artist and do all that shit, and that was like fine.
Pussy.
And then I got laid off from my job because Disney
get
got
that
bored.
3D pussy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If I'd done that, I'd probably be worth a lot more money right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Disney bought out like Fox and all those, and Marvel and all that shit. And I lost my job because they like completely restructured how they did all the shows we were working on. And I was
Disney.
Okay.
Fuck,
and I just went
Disney.
Freelance for a wee while, and that was fine, but like not very exciting. And then I moved over to Melbourne City, Australia.
Melbourne.
And I was like, you know, when you just like move to a new city, a new country, whatever, you're like, you know what? Hashtag new year, new me. It was kind of like fuck it, I'm gonna do all this stuff I've wanted to do. Like, you know, I'm here.
That
with...
lessens the valley of gay. You're in a new.
That is true.
You're in a new place with no one to judge you, so you really shrink the valley of gay when you do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you've got a small little gay valley there. Yeah.
Obviously, like all the you know, Filthy Frank, Max, Chad, Ian, all those guys were big inspos. Into the Storm was a huge inspiration. So then when he like reached out to me, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That was when I was like, oh, you can just make videos about like dumb shit like this. I obviously always knew you can make videos about dumb shit like fucking throwing up on a cake made of hair. But the idea of like, oh, I can make a video about like a funny story on 4chan I've read back in the day. That was like, I don't know why. It was just like kind of groundbreaking for me at the time. I was like, oh, people, not only can you do that, but like there's a huge audience for it. Because, you know, Historian's Channel like has one of the biggest pop-offs I've ever like heard of.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that made me think like, okay. And then you think like, well, okay, if I'm okay into this stuff, okay, 2019, if I'm into this stuff, then there's a million other people who are, and I could just make videos about it. I think the real catalyst, like, because I was also really big into Gus and Eddie at the time, and I feel like their method of making content was so like accessible.
Yeah,
or it seemed that way at the time. Like Gus obviously just filmed shit on like, you know, his phone or whatever. Like it was really like low budget, but that was kind of the point. Yeah. And like Eddie's stuff was also pretty simple. It was just like, you know, single camera shot. Like, you know, it was more like the charisma and entertainment and like comedy of the person with like kind of minimal editing. And I think I watched that and I was like, I could do that.
Yeah.
And I could after several years, but it is funny how you're like, oh, it's just easy. You just sit in front of a camera and talk and you'll be fine. You'll be entertaining. But like, God, those early videos of mine have so bad. Like it does take you ages to learn how to talk in front of a camera.
It really does. Yeah.
You don't think it, eh? You're like, I know how to talk.
Yeah.
But you really don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was kind of what inspired me originally. I was like, oh, well, I can do what they're doing, not because what they're doing is easy, but because I have I speak the same language as Eddie. But no, I was kind of like, well, I've got the same skill set that these guys have, or at least I have the ability to learn it, because I already knew how to edit a bit from uni and, you know, had some like editing talent here and there. And it's like, oh, I could probably do something with this. And then I was like, well, fuck it, we ball. And then just did not stop bowling. And now here we are, full of balls.
Full of balls.
You got three balls now.
Fucking balls.
Three whole balls.
Three whole balls.
Yeah, they bust in my ass. They eat my ass.
Now, Courtney,
like
film a 30-minute video about why you started editing and then put it right here.
Yeah, Courtney, inject yourself
then,
in like a video.
And then cut it.
Yeah.
And then cut it out. Speaking of fucking women, what is Unrestricted Schultz?
Stefan Schultze is the head of the Liberty University Cinematic
Arts. I was
going to
say, that sounds like some racist ass shit.
He was the guy who wrote and directed my junior year. Stefan Schultze.
He didn't make it through the Valley of Gay, bro.
He didn't make it through the Valley of Gay.
He's still deep in.
He fell in a hole in the Valley of Gay.
He was the one who wrote and directed Eleanor's Bench, which was a pilot, and it wasn't even a pilot. It was like a pitch pilot, basically. Like, we make a whole thing, and then they use that to pitch it to different studios.
Someone could walk in with the script to fucking Star Wars, and they could walk up to me, and they could say, all right, I'm here to pitch you Eleanor's Bench. And I'd start spitting my cum to my boys and walk out, bro. I'd start spit swapping cum and get back into the Valley again.
Like,
bro. That's the worst fucking name. I've never been less interested to watch anything than something called Eleanor's Bench.
I mean, first of all, Eleanor.
Just wait.
It's a 200-year-old bench, bro. That's all
just
I can think
wait
of.
Just
fucking bench.
You hear the plot bench. Of this.
I've seen YouTube videos from guys with 6 subscribers that are more compelling than me.
The rise and fall of Eleanor's Bench.
So the plot of it, the general idea for this whole show is a very successful black lady who becomes a judge.
Okay.
And she goes back to the bad part of DC to her home. And this is written by an old white man, just to be clear. And he said that he decided
to
write
this. This is a slice
of
life.
The struggles. Yeah, the struggles of the black community
coming
in
from
DC.
An old white man.
He decided, I didn't find this out till recently. He only said that it was from his personal experiences seeing that side of DC. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's dumb as is. It somehow gets dumber.
My personal experience is walking around in blackface in DC and seeing how I'm treated.
He did like
everybody
the
was
fucking,
really mean to me, and
I was out there with
why.
This guy named Joseph Salad. We were doing this thing called a social experiment.
I didn't really get it, but you know, he seemed
we
really
parked
happy
the Trump
about
with
it.
A Joe Biden flag in the fucking.
I was gonna say that reminds me of like when fucking that Steven Crowder thing where he fucking dressed as a woman and went to a gym.
Oh my god, bro!
Oh, yeah,
dude, he takes any excuse he can to fucking cross dress
and like kiss men on the mouth.
Yeah. Suck off his boys and say chubby bunny.
Steven Crowder is the type of MF who would chubby bunny his boys' penises.
Anyway, Eleanor's Bench.
So he got the entire idea for this because he worked really at one camp for a weekend for like pregnant teens. And that was the whole, he was that like, was I know experience. Enough about the poor community in DC now to be able to write a whole show.
God. You know what that reminds me of? That fucking meme that's like Woody holding back Sora. You know, it's like the fucking...
Oh, yeah, that is exactly what
it
is.
Yeah. Let him cook.
We're letting him cook as we speak.
Yeah, but not the let him cook one. It's the fucking I got this shit. Like the fucking...
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know how many of you guys probably don't know this. Sony actually purchased PureFlix. And PureFlix is the one who bought the show from him. This has been a big update is that... The show was bought by PureFlix.
He sold the show?
He sold the show. And so...
What are we doing wrong?
I don't know, man. I honestly...
Let's take one look at him. So this show is about a black woman and her struggles in her community. He's just sitting there like...
Just some old white guy.
Yes!
He had this like weird little... He would kind of talk like this. So in short... The experience I had on set, the like seeing it all come together, just a terrible piece of content.
Yeah.
The fact that Sony is listed as a producer, the excitement I have in my heart knowing that Schulze gets to make this dog shit product with an insane budget, I am like on the, I'm jumping up and down. Me and Jared and Courtney, because all of us know this dude, have never been more excited.
Do you have a credit?
So here's the thing. The pilot that I worked on and the first episode of the actual show are two different things.
Oh.
So I'm listed on the thing that no one is probably ever going to see unless they release it as like a, you know, DVD bonus special
exclusive
thing. And they told us at the beginning, like, you know, if we sell the show, we'll invite everybody back to be able to work on it. You'll have a... I did not hear a damn thing.
Oh, what a
none
bitch.
Of us did.
Especially not,
none
especially
of us
not
heard
now.
A goddamn thing
motherfuckers
about
named,
it.
You can't trust motherfuckers named Stephanie, bro.
Stephanie it's true, Schulze. You can't. Anyway,
Nazis. Yo, you think if you're walking through the Valley of Gay, you looking at your nails like this, or you looking at your nails like this?
Incredible. Nobody can catch you. You're the real Rage Racer.
Use face people.